Our text this morning is from Acts chapter 20, verses 7 to 12. Before I read that, I want to give a little background what's behind this particular text. We find Paul is completing his third missionary journey. He's on his way back to Jerusalem. And in one sense, he's kind of in a hurry because he has got with him, he's taking with him, collection, offerings to help the Christians in Jerusalem. And the Christians in Jerusalem are basically Jewish background Christians, but there's been a famine in the area, so they've been suffering. And Paul is also wanting to get back there with this collection because it's a powerful symbol. Most of this collection has been from Gentile Christians. And there had, you know, before their common bond in Christ, there was just antipathy between Jew and Gentile. And now Jewish and Gentile background believers were one in Christ, which was a very special thing. So Paul is eager to get back there and let these Jewish background Christians say, here is support and love from the Gentile Christians. But Paul is not in so much of a rush to get there as to not take advantage of an opportunity to strengthen the churches that have been founded on his missionary journeys. And so we come to this text, and he's at Troas, which is kind of a present-day western coast of Turkey. And at Troas, Paul stayed 7 days. And it was the last day that our text is about. And it's in Paul's desire to make sure that these young churches be strong in the Lord, that I think there is a message for the season that FTPC is in right now that I want us to hear. So let's hear God's Word. Acts chapter 20, I'll be reading verses 7 through 12. On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. I could make comments here about preaching, but I'm not going to. I mean, this was midnight, right? Okay, so continuing. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He's alive." Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. I want to show you a family picture from a hike that we took last Christmas vacation, when we were back there visiting Nate and Sandra and the kids. Now, hopefully, here it is. That in the background is Catawba Falls, and this was the Catawba Falls hike. Nate and Sandra, of course, you can tell who they are. Faith's on the right and Silas on the left. But what was really fascinating about this hike is that we came across a biblical character. See if you can recognize who this is. Eutychus. Well, actually, Eutychusia, that is Sandra. We came across this stone building there, and it had this open window, and Sandra said, "I'm going to be Eutychus." So, I said, "Well, just hold it there. I'm preaching on Acts coming up, and I may use chapter 20, so I need a picture of Eutychus." So there we are. Well, no doubt, as we look at this text, the dramatic highlight is Eutychus falling from three stories, being taken up dead, and then resuscitated. Now, undoubtedly, that story made its round around Troas. In fact, I got to thinking, what would it have been like for Eutychus when he went back to work later that day? And they said, his co-workers, "How was your weekend, Eutychus?" "Well, last night I fell three stories, I died, and then people prayed for me in the name of Jesus, and I was resuscitated." "How was your weekend?" That would have been a great opening for Eutychus. What a wonderful testimony. And yet, because this was such a dramatic incident, And we see it in our text. There's a danger that we might miss the underlying message of what this text is saying and the importance of what it is meaning to us. By analogy, I can think of Mark chapter 1. Jesus has begun his public ministry. He's gone into Galilee. He goes into this synagogue in Capernaum. And as he's teaching in the synagogue, teaching about the kingdom of God, there's this disturbance. There's a guy there who is demonized, and he begins manifesting. Talk about a wake-up call. Eutychus wouldn't have slept through that one. And so this demonized man begins manifesting. Jesus speaks a word. The demon comes out. The man's okay. And everyone's going, whoa, this guy has authority over the spirits. He just speaks a word. And it says that the word just spread about him throughout Galilee. The danger, of course, is that, yes, Jesus came to set the captives free. But they might have missed the underlying message of why he was there. And we see that in verse 15 of Mark 1. As Jesus began his ministry, his basic thrust was, the time has come, the kingdom of God is here, repent and believe the good news. That was what Jesus was saying. I have come to bring the kingdom of God. Repent, turn from your sins, put your faith in me. This is the good news. We don't want to lose the message. And the message we see here in this episode about Troas is this, that as Christians, we are to mutually encourage one another to stay strong in the faith in Jesus Christ and to follow him according to his word. I'm going to say that again. The underlying message here is that as Christians, we mutually encourage one another to stay strong in our faith in Christ and to follow him according to God's word. That's what Paul and the Troasians, if I can call them that, Troas Christians, they were doing with one another. This text is kind of a short little passage, and yet it's one of the main insights we have into the early church pattern of worship. Did you notice it says on the first day? Luke is with Paul right now, and Luke wrote Acts. That's why he says we. He says we on the first day met. The first day is Sunday. So we see that the early church began worshiping on Sunday because of the resurrection of Christ on the first day of the week. We see them meeting in a home. They didn't have church buildings yet. So it's in someone's home, a Christian. And as they met, they brought food, they shared a meal, they shared communion. And of course, they shared the Word of God. Paul was talking until midnight. It likely included a lot of teaching about the Word of God. Now remember, this was a Gentile background group of Christians here. So they didn't even have what we call the Old Testament, the Jewish Scriptures. They needed to learn the whole of what we would call the Old New Testament. The New Testament wasn't written yet, but Paul was teaching what he would later be writing about in the New Testament. So we have here times of teaching the Word of God. This is who Jesus is. This is why he came. This is how God has been at work in history. All of this is a part of teaching the Word of God. We also see that probably this wasn't atypical that they were meeting at night. You know, they didn't have Sundays off, so the people probably were working on Sundays, and then when they were done, they would gather for worship. They also didn't have a clock at the back of the sanctuary. So they weren't necessarily confined to an hour or an hour and a half or even 2 or 3 hours of worship. They worshiped while they were together, fellowshiped while they were together, and when they were done, they were done. And another thing, too, we see here, and we know this from Paul's letters, that Paul was not just some great missionary evangelist who would come and people would be won over to the Lord, but he would kind of keep his distance. No, he invested his life in these churches. He agonized over them. He prayed over them. He loved them, and they loved him. And so, you know, we see here this time, at the end of 7 days, Paul, knowing he's about to leave, is wanting to just milk these last moments as much as possible. And they're wanting him to milk it as much as possible. There's this interaction. We just see that Paul talked till midnight. Well, I'm sure that a part of that was singing songs of praise and worship, hearing testimonies from the Troas Christians, and Paul talking about the Word of God, and on it went. Now, my guess is that the Troas First Church usually didn't meet until midnight. They probably had services much more than an hour and an hour and a half, but not necessarily going till midnight and beyond. But this was a special occasion. Paul the Apostle was here, and he was about to leave. And so Paul wanted as much time as possible with them. They wanted as much time with Paul, and the time kept getting later and later. The lamps kept burning. It was warm. And some people, like Eutychus, were getting sleepy. It's amazing. It only takes us less than 20 minutes to get sleepy. But here, I'm speculating, but I don't think this is too far away from probability. Eutychus had probably gotten up early that morning and worked all day long. And then as a young Christian, he was excited about getting together with the fellow believers and worshiping and fellowshipping together. And he wanted to take in as much as he could from Paul. But the body was just simply wearing out. And as the evening wore on, Eutychus got more and more tired. And finally, and this is again speculation, but the window, which was an open window, was probably a place where Eutychus thought, you know, if I can get up there and get fresh air, I can stay awake. He maybe had been there for an hour, just really soaking it in. But again, finally, sleep overtook him. He lost his balance and down he went, three floors. Well, that was a wake-up call to everyone. So then down they go, and Paul thrusts himself upon this young man and prays, and the man's life returns to him. To say the least, everyone was relieved. And what did he do? Went back upstairs. And on they went until daybreak, sharing their meals together. But again, what's happening in all of this? Encouragement. They were encouraging one another. I cannot imagine that this time went by. I'm sure Paul is pouring forth so much, but I can't imagine that there wasn't the opportunity that the people laid hands on Paul and his companions and prayed for them, for what, you know, the Lord had in store for them. Mutual encouragement. And friends, that's the message that we are to have with one another. And that's what B was sharing, encouragement of one another. Now, what we see in this text is encouragement has some different faces. Let me point out three different faces of encouragement here, or three different aspects or expressions of encouragement. First is presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. Paul was with them. And what an encouragement that must have been. And for him to be in their presence. Doug and Wendy will be coming later this spring, and that will be a great encouragement for us. We've been praying for them for years. We've been hearing about their ministry, to have them back with us. They'll be encouraged by us and vice versa. When we've had some of the missionaries come through, like last August, when Dave and Karen Eubank were here with the kids, it's electrifying. When Kathy Giske has come and shares about her work, a ministry among the Muslims, and seeing what God is doing there. You know, the very presence, encourages one another. And then they are encouraged when we lay hands and pray on them. And this, when we gather together Sunday after Sunday, or in groups during the week for Bible study, whatever it might be, there's encouragement by our very presence with one another. Second area where we see encouragement is in the Word of God, the Scriptures. Paul was teaching them the Word of God. When we get together, every worship service, there is Scripture. It comes in different forms. During our block of song earlier, Brian read from Isaiah 45, the Word of God. We're encouraged by Scripture. Listen to what it says in Romans 15, verse 4, for everything that was written in the past, that's referring to the Old Testament, but it would include now all that we have in the Bible. Everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. When we share the Word of God, it brings encouragement to fellow believers. A third face of encouragement is actions. What we do for one another. The dramatic action in our text here was Paul went down and thrust himself on Eutychus and prayed for him. But I think there were other actions of encouragement there that were more subtle. People were bringing food to share with others. And I can imagine, since they had to meet up on the third floor, that some of the older Christians there, with little more rickety knees, maybe were helped up by some of the younger Christians and then helped back down the stairs. Different ways that our actions show that we encourage one another in the love of the Lord. Encouragement. A vital, vital ministry that we have to one another. One of the reasons why I picked this at this time, it's a loose analogy, but I think there is overlap, is that Paul was going to be leaving the next morning on his way to Jerusalem with those who were with him. And Jeanette and I are going to be leaving at the end of June, so it's not the next morning. But there is this dynamic that's underway now at FTPC as we prepare for the transition that's coming. Our presence over the many years has been one way we've really grown together and been encouraged. And the Word of God that we've used with one another, the actions that we've shared with one another. Now, unlike with Paul's situation, and my belief is that by God's grace, we'll continue to see each other off and on, maybe in different venues, whether it's a PRMI thing or, you know, homecoming or something. But our regular times of being together will come to an end. But what Jeanette and I would like to do, in fact, Jeanette, if you can come up here, is something we want to share, is that as we go through this time of transition, we would like to have a series of what I would call dessert meetings. Now, it may not always always be dessert, but that's true. And there are, some of you may have seen this, there are actually sign-up sheets for these meetings back on the wall there in the narthex. And there are 8 different meetings, and they're at different times. The first one's actually going to be next Sunday evening. I think that may be the only Sunday night one. But there are some different evenings. There's an afternoon one, a couple of morning ones, a couple of them on Saturdays. What our desire is that over these meetings, which we can have like up to 12, is that people who attend FTPC can sign up for one of these times and then come and probably about an hour and a half time just to share together, encourage one another. So, Jeanette, are they obligated to come?
No.
All right.
Well, maybe.
Well, what about, will people over 60 be invited?
Oh, come on.
They better be.
Yes.
We are over 60. You would come.
However, there are some steps that are kind of getting down into our house. So is that going to be a challenge?
I hope not. We have a nice new handrail. So.
Yeah. And we may even have younger people help the older people down the steps, just like they did it back in Troas. Okay. What about people under 10? Are they invited?
We would love to have anyone come, a baby or all the way up.
And they have toys.
Yes.
Yes, we have lots of toys. Yes.
Thank you, Marcy. Yes, we do have toys, and I will share them with the little ones. Now, if you're between 10 and 60, I'm sorry you're not invited, but no, just teasing. The basic thrust here is anyone who attends FTPC, all ages. New or old,
yeah.
Yes. Old meaning long timer here in this case. So, all right. And last till dawn, right, yeah. That'll be hard for the 10 o'clock in the morning meetings to go till the next morning. No. It'll probably be... I don't know if you know the answer to this. What is it that they are to bring besides themselves? Right. Actually, it's optional. Yes, it's up on the board. What to bring yourself and, this is optional, a favorite verse or passage. Again, encouraging one another with the Word of God. Again, that's optional. I don't want anyone to come because they think, oh, I don't know the Bible that well yet, or I don't have a... You know, just come. There'll be plenty of Scripture. But if you have a Scripture or passage to share, that would be neat to bring that as well. And let's see, what else? Okay, that's what it looks like. Now, this particular one says Sunday evening, March 26th. That's next Sunday night. But each one, just note the date and the time. Because we know people's schedules are different. Some people don't want to go out in the evening. So that's why we have some options afternoon or morning. Or some people, during the week it doesn't work. That's why we have some Saturday. So again, look over the different options. Or you may want to say, I'd like to come when so-and-so does. And so you go to that person and say, hey, let's sign up together for that. However it works, we just encourage you to come. As one of the ways that we can... encourage each other, and we'll talk about transition and what God may have in store during this time of transition. Some scriptures to encourage you, because I really believe, and I'm excited about this, what God has in store for FTPC. We've been sensing over the last couple of years a new thing, and we've seen some new things, and we've rejoiced in that. But God is always bringing forth new things, new things. So we are excited about that. Anything else, Jeanette, you want to add about that? Yeah. Okay, well, we look forward to that. And any questions about this? I hope I make it kind of clear about these dessert meetings. Any questions? There'll be plenty of dessert, she says.
That might be his only concern.
Yeah. Oh, macaroons. Okay, big joke. Did you notice the cookies? Now, Jenny actually picked that, but she nicely picked chocolate chip cookies. So, nothing coconut. Yes?
What if you don't like chocolate?
Oh, and that reminds me of something. We will have what?
What?
Gluten-free.
Oh, gluten-free.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have some gluten-free stuff. Yeah, just in case. Yeah. Okay, any other questions about that? Mitchell?
Is there a cap on the number of people per
event? Indirectly, yes.
I think that's what you were alluding to when you said 12.
Right, 12. Right. We kind of, because counting us, that'd be 14, which would be pretty packed, and we don't have a huge living room. On the other hand, there's also not necessarily a minimum. So let's say on a given day, it really works well for four or five people. But not there's that's good enough. Four or five can come. But yeah, once a sheet fills with 12, maybe you can look for one of the other times. Unless that's the only time you could meet. Then we can bargain and do some trading, you know, for future draft choice and that type of thing. All right. Any other questions on that? Can you come more than once? Especially if you like the dessert, right? Oh, you're going to do that. Marcy's going to do that. Hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I can't say necessarily no either. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? All right. What? Before we close with the final song and a prayer, I want to read another passage of Scripture. In fact, Pat, how quick could you put this up? Could you give Romans 15, verses 5 and 6? I doubt that the song we're going to sing in closing, it's in our bulletin in the insert. It's a great name. Great song about the name.
Your Great Name.
I know that they didn't actually sing that at Troas because it wasn't written yet. But I am sure that they sung something very similar about the great name of Jesus and all that he brings. And to their lives. I'm sure they sung wonderful songs. And that's what we're going to be singing at the end of our service. Your Great Name and all that Jesus does for us. We sang a song earlier about Blessed Be Your Name. And that includes even in our sufferings. When there's pain in the offering. Remember that phrase? You know, living as we do in a broken world, we are going to have suffering. We're going to have difficulties. But like Paul says in Romans 8, you know, those don't even begin to compare with the glory that's going to be revealed in us and the blessings we have right now in Jesus Christ, your great name. So this passage says, may the God, in fact, let's read this together. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that you are the God of endurance. Some of us right here this morning that have come in here really need this grace of endurance that the Spirit would give us because of the challenges right now in this season of life, maybe at work or with a family member or with health. And you're the God of endurance and you're the God of encouragement. And you encourage us in those moments when we come to you in our prayer closet. You encourage us in times of corporate worship. You encourage us through the body of Christ. We thank you for that. And we pray in the power, in the name of Jesus, that the Spirit of God would unite our hearts with one mind and heart in order to be able to proclaim the glory of Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, Lord, for this. And you are able to bring Jew and Gentile believers together at the foot of the cross. You bring us together. And so may we demonstrate this in our love for you, love for one another, and love for the strangers you bring across our path, even this week, as we bear witness to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your great name, and we pray this in your name. Amen. It's been good to be together, and we have more time. You're invited to the potluck downstairs. Feel free to just join us following the service. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word now and forevermore. Amen.